This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NASCAR is going to keep on running. They're running like crazy. We're going to keep hearing stories about the NBA coming back. We're going to keep hearing stories about the NFL, business as usual. The NHL already rolling out their plan. Major League Baseball, who knows, right?
Right.
Yeah, who knows with Major League Baseball. So we're going to talk to Joe Sheehan about it. And Joe joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe covers baseball for SI.com, for Baseball America. You can get his newsletter, Joe Sheehan, newsletter at joesheehan.com. Joe, good to have you back with us.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
We're just sitting here thinking, all right, if you're the sport that plays outside, why are you having more trouble figuring things out than the sports that play inside?
Well, it takes a while to get ramped up again. We shut down in March. Obviously, the worst of the coronavirus nationally, you know, led largely by certainly first Seattle and then here in New York, took us into April, May. Then you got to sit down and figure out how do you come back, whether you're able to come back. I think all of the sports right now are trying to figure out how to ramp back. It's worth mentioning that, you know, baseball does play outside, but clubhouses are inside, press boxes are inside. There's a lot of close contact that's necessitated by the play of the game. So it's not just as simple as an outside-inside split. The other big issue, and we're seeing a lot of this now, guys, people saying, well, the NBA and the NHL aren't having these problems. NBA and NHL players got almost all of their 2019-29 pay before this happened. The issue of compensation, especially if you just skip to the playoffs, essentially isn't there. MLB, and I should actually say MLB owners, have created this issue.
Would this go quicker if the owners, and not this is ever going to happen, but if the owners open up their books and said to the players, look, we know we had the deal, we knew that, you know, what was on the table, we kind of figured this out, but if the players said, when we don't have this amount of attendance in the stands and we're playing in front of nobody, this is what we're losing. And by the way, here's the money we're making. It's TV, it's, you know, jersey sales, whatever. If they open their books a little bit more, do you think there'd be a little bit more ease at trying to get this thing done?
If they open their books in March, there's not enough time to do the kind of forensic accounting that you'd have to do on the team's books and then also use that information to get a deal done here. There is a bit of a ticking clock. I think that that's something that MLB players should always be looking to do. In 150 years of baseball history, the owners have actually opened their books exactly once. They did it in 1985, and a Stanford economist named Roger Noel looked at them and said, nope, none of this is true. And he pointed out all of the different ways in which MLB teams were fudging their numbers. Ever since then, MLB has never opened their books. I don't think they're looking to do so here.
Sure.
Joe Sheehan joining us. Joe with SI.com, with Baseball America, and the Joe Sheehan newsletter, joesheehan.com. You can go in and get some information on that. Joe, with the proposal that was thrown out about cutting of the players' salaries, I never thought in my life I'd feel sorry for a guy making $20 or $30 million a year. But the proposal that was initially thrown out where they would get, what, 20% of their salary while the other guys are getting 72% of their salary, I thought, well, I don't know where that's fair anywhere. Even though you're making a bigger dollar figure, guess what? You earned that dollar figure. Is anything like that going to float?
I don't think so. And the way I kind of tried to frame it is, it's not like if, you know, the owners, if they this deal were to go through, it's not like that money circulates in society. You're seeing a lot of this, oh, you know, the players have to think about the essential workers and all the people. They're not getting that money. If you put this plan into place, it's Mike Trout giving $14 million to Artie Moreno. It's Freddie Freeman giving $3 million to Liberty Media. It makes absolutely no sense within the economy of baseball for these things to be going on. Guys, some baseball players are rich. The owners are all wealthy, and that's the difference here. This is the wealthy trying to get loans from the rich, and it's completely – that deal, it's one of those things that looks fair on the surface, but once you actually consider the relative wealth of the two entities, it's absolutely nonsense.
Joe, you know, just going back to John Q. Public on this, I don't think, and I just don't think people want to hear it. I mean, people don't want to hear about, you know, millionaires and billionaires, and I've heard that a million times. And if they don't come up with something here or figure this thing out, what's the damage they'll do to the game, and how many fans will they turn off, and how long will it take to bring those guys back?
I mean, the fans. This is something we've been through any number of times. And the fans, right. Generally, and fans, there's never been a case where the fans haven't come back. You go back to, 94, you go back to 81, you go back to, you know, in 1976, we were told the free agency was going to break baseball, literally was going to end baseball. Every time we hear, oh, they're never going to come back this time, they always come back. And that's not, it's because baseball's popular. So people like watching the games, because in the sports calendar, baseball has, you know, enormous parts of the summer pretty much all to itself. It drives the entire regional sports network model. So, no, I think this is the kind of thing we hear, you know, every time gets brought up, and then the fans eventually come back. If baseball runs into a problem in future years, it's not going to be because of this conflict. It's going to be because the U.S. economy is probably going to take a while to recover. There's going to be less money for discretionary spending. People may not want to hang out in crowds for a while. A lot of the issues that are in play for 2020 are probably going to be in play for 2021 in terms of attendance.
Joe Sheehan joining us, SI.com, Baseball America, the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Joe, are you going to be more surprised if baseball comes back or if it doesn't?
I'd be more surprised if they didn't agree to something that brought and fellas, I want to make the point here, we're not to the hard part yet. The money is literally the money fight has been picked by the owners, and maybe they can come to a settlement. You start deferring money, but the real hard part is, how do we keep, if they go with 30-man rosters and 50-man travel squads, you know, 900 to 1500 guys healthy traveling around the country for 4 months. That's the harder part of this. My feeling is that they will themselves to the start of a season, but I have serious doubts about whether they can finish one.
Does that do more damage to the game than?
I don't know if it does more damage to the game. I mean, you've started. One of the differences that you say is that, okay, if the economic issues were to cause the season not to start, mm-hmm. that would create the kind of response you're talking about with the public. If the season starts and you have a coronavirus breakout, you have multiple ones, you start to see players or people around the game start to get sick and you have to shut it down, I do think people will forgive that a little bit more. I think that's the worst scenario here. The worst scenario isn't starting. The worst scenario is starting and having to stop, because that's the message that gets sent, is we don't have this under control. I mean, we don't have this under control. But if a league starts and has to stop again, that's a huge announcement that these leagues, with all of these resources, putting all of these protocols into play, can't keep the players safe, can't keep people safe. And I think that message would be a real blow to the efforts to kind of get back to normal.
So how do they make it safe? I mean, I was envisioning what you were talking about. It's like, you know, when these guys first started playing baseball, they got dressed at home and just came to the park as kids in their uniform ready to roll. I don't think that's that outrageous to ask major leaguers to get dressed, especially if there's no fans. Get dressed in your hotel and come on over. Shut down the clubhouses.
Yeah, I mean,
can you do it?
It's not American Legion Baseball, though. It's not Little League. And doing that for 4 months, doing that when you don't have access member. I mean, this is, again, the difference between being playing baseball and being a Major League Baseball player. There are things these guys have to do to stay in shape, to recover from the game, to work out. One of the real objections the players have is the lack of access, the projected lack of access to weight rooms and whirlpools and hot tubs and cold tubs. Again, we're not talking about regular guys here. We're talking about finely tuned athletes. Even the guys we talk about, oh, that guy's, you know, chubby or whatever, because some of the best athletes in the world. And I think when you talk about, oh, just get dressed in your hotel and come back, you know, that works when you're playing once a week. When you're, you know, I remember, you know, playing Lake to Killarney in the Inwood Little League, you know, forever ago. That works then, but to have to do that for 4 months, and with like I say, the recovery issues, with the training issues that would be involved, it's a big lift, guys.
I mean, I'm just listening to, I have no sympathy for the players. If it means to have a season and play, and you have to do something silly, just like get dressed in your room, who cares? Like, I don't think there's any fan out there who's going to be like, oh, poor Major League Baseball player. I understand you're a professional, but if you've got to sacrifice not being able to use the clubhouse to be able to play the game to get paid, no matter what the money is, I can't see the fans like, it's, okay, get dressed somewhere else. Just go play. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's just, from a fan's perspective, I just don't think there's a whole lot of sympathy for these guys. Not now.
There's not, but there's never been. There's literally you go back to the early days of the MLBPA, you know, this late 1960s when they were really just trying to fight for a pension, or in 72 trying to get salary arbitration. You go on every one of these fights. The fans are never going to be on the player's side. It's just not going to happen. There is literally no circumstance in which the fans are. We are in a situation right now where the owners have picked a fight entirely because these 30 rich guys and companies want to get more money out of the deal. And the players still aren't going to get any sympathy. So I don't think the players can take the fans' opinion of their trading methods or whatever have you, as you're saying. I don't think that can be on their agenda. The fans are simply not going to understand the level of effort it takes to be a Major League Baseball player. So the players want to play. The players want to play in part because they do appreciate the fan support. But they know that when the rubber meets the road, they're not going to have the fans' understanding.
Joe Sheehan joining us. Joe, there's been a lot of talk about minor league baseball. There was a lot of talk about the major leagues wanting to get rid of minor league teams before all of this even happened. And now it looks like eventually something's going to change there. What's minor league baseball going to look like sooner rather than later? I don't know if the pandemic is the reason why, but it certainly doesn't help the cause of keeping more minor league teams.
Yeah, it's hard to tease out the effects of the pandemic and essentially not having a 2020 minor league baseball season from MLB's plans. It's a really complicated issue, but I would make the point is this. The current model where teams have all of these affiliates, some complex leagues even in Dominican, dates to, you know, 60 years ago when the minor leagues essentially said, we don't want to be independent. We want to be farm systems for the major leagues. And 60 years on, MLB teams have realized we don't need this many steps along the ladder to develop players the way we want to. We would like to have fewer teams. Parallel to this, there's a whole conversation about paying minor league players better. And the two go hand in hand. My sense was, if you want MLB to pay minor leaguers better, you also have to be able to let MLB say, we don't need this many of them. So we will pay the ones we keep, the ones that are more prospects, and get rid of a lot of the filler-type players. Now, obviously, a lot of people, what baseball was saying was, it's not that you can't have a team in small-town Appalachia. It's that we're not going to provide the players for that team. The minor league owner-operators largely said, well, we want you to pay for our players. That's the fight. Nobody's saying you can't have a team in this town or this town or this town. We're just saying it's not going to be with players MLB is paying for. So there's a lot going on there. But I do think that this, as you say, the pandemic and the lack of a 2020 season is going to accelerate this process. I do think it will be good for the game. You're not losing prospects. If you look at, you know, any given low minor league in a year, maybe a quarter to a third of those players eventually reach the major leagues. If you look at the draft after, say, round 20, a handful of those players will make the major leagues, and a very, you know, maybe one or two of them will have any impact whatsoever. Baseball can cut down the minor leagues without affecting the quality of play at all.
And Joe, independent league baseball could thrive, become something else. And you can be sure the major leagues would be scouting those guys and sign them into a much smaller affiliated system.
Thank you so much for saying that, because that's also part of MLB's plan. Remember, the minor leagues at one time were independent. You played in a pennant race for the San Jose whatever. The Pacific Coast League was darn close to being a third major league for much of the 20th century. And I think there'd actually be more interest in some of these smaller leagues. Because you got to remember, guys, in the minor leagues now, nobody plays for the glory of the Rockford, whatever Rockford's calling itself these days. I go here, Staten Island, the Yankees, the Brooklyn Cyclones. They're not playing to win the New York Penn League. It's a developmental league. Now, what would happen if you replaced baseball in a lot of these smaller towns with an actual league with rivalries from other cities that were playing to win the tri-state league pennant or whatever you end up calling it? I think you're absolutely right. Independent baseball could be a huge winner in this. And if the demand for baseball in these places are what the advocates for the minor leagues are saying it is, it should actually be a successful venture.
And college baseball, too. That's my point on that. What are your thoughts on the effect of it for college baseball, then?
Well, college,
guys,
of course,
stay long?
That's a different kettle of fish. I mean, college baseball is largely a regional sport. It's very popular down in the Southeast. The SEC is a fantastic conference. The Pac-12 was once fallen off a bit. Obviously, you've got geographic issues. It's hard to – college baseball is a very short season in some of the northern places. It's also going to be affected by the loss of the NCAA tournament this year and the funding that provides. Questions about how much money the 2020 college football season will provide. I think college baseball, we've already seen some colleges, I want to say at least one, Bowling Green in the MAC, cut its team.
Right.
A lot of JUCOs are cutting their teams, some D2 and D3 teams have. If this is going to hurt college baseball, and how much it hurts depends on probably how much college football gets played this winter.
He's Joe Sheehan.
Not so much the COVID part of it, but the fact that if Major League Baseball teams have less minor league teams, don't you think, guys, that it's going to increase the level of play in the college baseball scene, or am I nuts? Those guys have to jump over and play somewhere.
It's like the bottom 1,200 guys in minor league baseball are going to have – remember, some of those have already gone to college as well. So
right.
600 additional high school guys might go to college, but it's the bottom part of that tier. I don't think it's going to – in the short term, because of the five-round draft this year, college baseball could look very good over the next couple of years because they're going to get an influx of talent. But in the long term, if they went to a 20-round draft and implemented the smaller minor leagues, I don't think it would impact college baseball all that much in the long term.
Gotcha.
JoeSheehan.com is where you can learn all about the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. It's JoeSheehan.com. Joe with SI and with Baseball America, and we always love talking with you, Joe. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Joe joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline in this baseball update brought to us by WOW Internet TV and Phone. I think his thought...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.